We're going to talk about guns. And I know it's a no-brainer. And this could be the shortest sermon I've ever done if I did it like, you know, what about guns in the Christian today? I could answer it with one verse and then the sermon's over with. But I don't want to do that. Let's do a little learning here. And here's an email. See, this is all part of that stuff in Corinthians. Troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Perplexed, but not in despair. I am troubled. This is so un-American, so anti-American, that it just amazes me that we even let it get this far. Perplexed, how can they be so stupid to think that when somebody breaks a law, let's make the law tougher? I just don't get there, you know, perplexed, but not in despair, because I have a bunch of unregistered ones too. I probably shouldn't have said that. Maybe I'll bleep that out of my video or something, but they know anyway. You used to have pictures on the website, the church office, you know, all the guns and the 10,000 rounds and the whole spiel. And remember we had the Santa shoot, which I thought was hilarious, but it was not well received in the community. By the community people, did not know at the time that Washington farmers are liberal. Well, put it this way, I did not realize that farmers in the Washington farm country were run by their wives and by the women. That's really what it was. The guys thought it was kind of cool. They came out, we did a bunch of shoot, you know. So to make matters even more exciting, I made a bunny shoot, which we had, then we had the Tannerite explosives, and one of the boys did make a pipe bomb, which was illegal, and he lifted a whole granary that was laying on the ground sideways. He lifted the whole granary off the ground. That was pretty exciting to watch. Wish I'd have had my video brain at the time. But I got three cases at Tannerite. I'll take up to North Dakota. I don't dare blow them off here in South Dakota because it'll start a fire. I mean, a road grader is what started the fire in the hills there a couple of days ago. Scraped some rocks and lit the ditch, and boof, it was gone. So, no, we won't be doing that around here anyway. But anyway, I am troubled by it. I mean, it just, we lose the guns, and it's over. Well, come on, it's going to be over someday. So, yeah, let's just look at this thing anyway, just because, and this will be my official gun message. I don't have the guns on my wall behind me anymore. I was thinking I need to get all my guns together, stash all my ammo, and sit in front of that and do my guns and Christian sermon. But for one thing, they're all packed. But it wouldn't be the first time I unpacked something I've already packed to find something. But let's just get into this thing here. And here's an article on the internet. I have little respect for anyone, especially a person claiming to be a minister of God who holds a Bible in one hand and a gun in the other. Jesus never held a sword. And as I read this, I'm going to run across a couple other thoughts. No, Jesus never held a sword. He was the sword. But anyway, that's a free one. The Bible teaches that if you live by the sword, you die by the sword. Oh, see, now there's wrong dividing right there. That's revelation. But anyway, stand your ground is an unnecessary law. If someone is coming into our homes uninvited, we have always had the right to protect ourselves. This guy is totally ignorant about this stuff. With this law, it gives certain people the feeling that they have the right to antagonize a person to the point of a fight. Who's ever looking to do that? You know, this guy is just, no, you cannot legislate morality. What's moral for one may be moral for another. Yeah, you know. I, for one, love the United States because we are so diverse. Yeah, there's strength in diversity. Again, troubled by that kind of stuff, but not distressed, because we know this is part of the falling away. Perplexed, because that is just stupid to think that the more mixed up we are, the stronger we are. That didn't work in World War II, World War I. But then again, what's the morality behind World War II? Well, it was a political war like anything else. It brought the women into the workplace. And all these people, yeah, God helped us win. Why would God help us win after we've lost a million people? So, it's crazy. yeah, we won because of all sorts of reasons. In fact, it even started the credit issue. It started the military complex, as they call it. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. So that guy is one of those that thinks a pastor shouldn't have a gun. This guy would have not been my friend. I should say, I would not have been this guy's friend in Tushy. We had a 44 Magnum up in the balcony when Patience was doing the sound recording up at the top. She could have got somebody from behind or above. We had three guys in the church that were carrying. I had a 44. What you have up? I had a 38 Special on the pulpit. I had a Derringer in my pocket, double barrel Derringer, and then I had a, what do I have under the pulpit? I have a 9mm under the pulpit. I was just hoping somebody would come in, you know, back when this, I was just wishing for that. Then I was talking with one of my former pastor in Washington, and I moved to North Carolina, told me two experiences he actually had. And, it's just amazing how he had some four guys come into the store to beat him up, and he pulled a gun and called 911 at the same time. And they left, and the cops came, and he saved himself from getting, you know, beat up. And the other one is he saved him and his kids. He and his kids? Saved him and his kids. Anyway, saved his boys and himself from a drunk to stop in front of his driveway and wouldn't let him in the driveway. And he got the gun out and the guy left. So he knows that stuff. Okay, so this guy is nuts. A pastor, you know, a Christian with his Bible in one hand and a gun in the other, you know. That's usually who you find holding guns anymore, but now we're hearing the Christians that are against all this stuff. So here's another article here a guy writes, and he talks about the fact that vengeance is up to God. Well, who said anything about vengeance here? We're just defending ourselves. You know, if somebody comes along when I was younger, and somebody comes along, I probably still do it today, hurts my daughter and stuff, or hurts my kids or my wife or something, and got away, I would, you know, I'd go looking for him. But I really know I couldn't shoot him when I found him. I would really want to. And depending upon how bad the situation was, I still may and just go to jail, and that's life. I hear jail, the right kind of jail, is a pretty good life. Except there's some things that scare me to death. I couldn't even ride in the back of a police car because I'd have to put my hands behind my back and in cuffs. And because of my claustrophobic and my, anxiety thing, I would have to, I would go nuts in the back of a police car with my hands tied up. That would be rough. So that's what's keeping me out of jail right there. Are you still there? Let's see. Is everybody still there? Yeah, you're still there. Seem to be kind of yakking here. Let's go to Exodus 22. Let's look at some Old Testament stuff here for a minute. You know, these people that want to, go by the law as such, or just obey the commandments, this kind of thing. So if thou shalt not kill, then we shouldn't be having guns. God will take care of us, that kind of a thing. You know, somebody said, well, God jammed up this pervert's gun the other day at the theater. Okay, tell that to the people that were killed, to the families of the people that were killed. Why didn't God stop jam the gun before all those others were killed? In fact, why didn't God stop him before he got through the theater door? Why didn't God stop this? You know, it's just, they really make God look bad here. I mean, God just picks and chooses who he saves and who he doesn't. That's just insane to think like that. Anyway, they don't get it. They really just don't get it. Exodus 22, look at verse 1. If a man shall steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall restore five oxen for an ox and four sheep for a sheep. So we're looking at that kind of a thing here. Okay. If a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, see? You got a thief in their little tent, then the guy got up and killed him, or the wife killed him or whatever, there should be no blood. There shall no blood be shed for him. Oh, okay. If the sun be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him. For he should make full restitution. If he have nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. If the theft be certainly found in his hand alive, you know, catch him at it and all kind of stuff, whether it be ox or ass or sheep, he shall restore double. Oh, that's pretty tough. The only thing is, it's like finding these guys, you know, $50,000 and they're robbing your house. You're going to find them for, you know, break-in and entry. A lot of good that fine's going to do. Okay, so there's God's initial look at the whole thing of about a thief coming into your tent or to your house, you know, to get stuff. And the vengeance thing we know is baloney. So, that's Old Testament. Romans chapter 2, we are reminded, verse 5, to a lost person, that God doesn't stop them from doing what they're doing. This place is belongs to the God of this world. And is there no conspiracy by men to make this stuff happen? No, I don't believe there is by men. I don't think man knows what's going on out there. I don't believe man understands what he's been taught through the educational system, what he's been taught through his parental mentality of guidance, what he's been taught by being abused through the years, how his mind has developed, what he has been taught through the entertainment and the media and comics. You know, okay, let's make comics illegal. Let's make the Batman comic illegal, you know. Can't do that. And the way the government presents things, most of our education nowadays is done through the media. We know that. They teach our kids and us adults more than people realize. We look at magazines. We understand the subtle pictures that are within those paintings of foods. I went through the family circle again this week, the new one. My mother-in-law sent it to us, and you know we'll take it. Why not? I guess. And their advertisements. There's a T in there that's got a gross thing right in the middle of the T of the ice. You know, we're being subliminally changed. Our evil communication is corrupting us, whether we want it, whether we believe it or not. If we don't stay in this Bible, we will be changed over time. It's amazing to think that any of us could be taught to be against the gun thing. But I still believe we could be. So this is what's happening, you know, to people. Okay, so let's go to. Okay, anyway, so this thing in verse 5, but after the hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up thyself wrath against the day of wrath. Okay, so we know that the lost people are, this is all being stored. They have a chance to get out of it. They have a chance to be changed through a Bible. We can stay from being changed by staying in the Bible. That's just how this thing, God is not going to interfere. He's just not going to, it's going to happen, it's going to happen. What's going to happen? Okay, the falling away. Well, what's going to happen? All this stuff is troubling us. Those things are going to happen. God isn't going to stop that stuff. Okay, just get back to not just whining here and not rambling here, but let's look at some other things here. Let's get rid of that. Okay. Let's go to Matthew chapter 12. Now let's get into the Jesus time here. This guy that said Jesus, you know, he would never carry a gun. Well, or a sword, you know, for that part. Well, you know, he was the sword. If he wanted to, he could have called the angels down, it says there, and had it all taken care of. He could have done it himself. He didn't even have to twiggle his nose. He could have just made it happen. But he didn't. So Matthew chapter 12, let's look at here. What does he say about stuff like this? Matthew chapter 12, verse 29. Okay, here. How else can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man? And then he will spoil his house. Well, that's what's happened. You know, the man, the household, has been bound. If a man wants to be a man, he'll probably end up in jail for harassment or sexual harassment or being politically incorrect. And his kids who are being brought up like they are will think that dad is wrong. He'll eventually turn him in, if not just reject him. So we know that the strong man has gone down. Look at Mark chapter 3. Same thing. Mark chapter 3, verse 27. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. So this country, let's go to the country aspect of it, cannot have its goods totally spoiled here yet until they bind the strong man. Well, the biggest strength that America's ever had has been its Second Amendment guns. A legitimate quote by the Emperor of Japan, which you probably all heard this, was when he was asked, why didn't you invade the United States mainland? He said, because everybody in the United States has a gun. Why can they not get away with certain things? Because so far, we have millions of guns. We probably have more guns in this country than they do in the rest of the world. And what is America trying to do to these other countries? He's trying to take their strength, their guns, their missiles. So then they are a weak nation, then we can control them. Kind of odd that we're the ones that sold them all these guns and missiles and planes and jets. But we ignore that part of it. We make a lot of money off them, then we tell them to get rid of them. And if they don't, you know, I still think the way we did it, we had all these Minuteman missiles out here in South Dakota. We just happen to have more guns and bigger guns than anybody else. And so if they mess with us, we could, you know, mess with them even worse. So it never happened. But now America seems to think it can tell everybody else what to do with their guns in various countries. Well, that's United Nations is about to step in on that one now and take care of ours. They have to bind to the strong man. They have to bind our guns up, and then they can finish off what's left in America. I saw in Walla Walla, which is just a puny little town in Washington, one day I saw a tank, an actual tank, with Walla Walla Police Department written on it. What does Walla Walla need a tank for? Well, for our own people. So, you know, let's go to Luke chapter 11. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Chapter 11, verse 21. When a strong man armed, there it is, armed, I like that. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. So, Jesus taught, take care of your stuff. Keep yourself strong. And you can, you know, I mean, there it is. Well, let's go to Luke 22. Let's look at something else here. Luke 22. Unless I would say that would be point two, the strong men. The Old Testament was point one. Point number three here. Let's go to Luke 22, verse 35. And this is Jesus himself now. His time is up. It's finished, he says. Here, we'll get to that in a minute here. And he's talking to the guys here, and he says, talking to Peter, et cetera, et cetera. And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, nothing. See, the Lord took care of them during those early times of their apostling. Then said he unto them, but now, things are going to change here. He that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. Wow. For I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, it is enough. Does that mean we can only have two guns? Hope not. Okay, let's go down to 49. So this whole thing takes place. You know, he prays, sweat as if were great drops of blood. And when he came up from prayer, they were sleeping, that kind of stuff. And while he yet spake in verse 47, Judas shows up and gives him the kiss, that kind of thing. And Jesus said unto them, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they which were about him saw what would follow, here we go, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? Well, why not? Jesus told him to get some swords. Well, one of them, we knew that is, smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered, said, suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. Now, if I was one of those guards, and I saw that happen, and this guy picks up, you know, touches his ears, and he's got his ear back, I don't think I would arrest him. I think I would go against my government, all of us. I think I would take care of that. But that's how blind people are to Jesus, to the truth. you would think that people would be thrilled to understand the King James Bible, rightly divided, to realize the truth behind rightly dividing, how it is really the goodness of God. Vengeance comes later. The judgment seat of Christ comes later. Dispensation of grace. You know, it's like watching Jesus put an ear back on somebody, but they don't get it. Well, if this guy is not going to see who just Jesus is when the guy heals his ears, he's not going to catch on. You know what I mean? Okay, let's go to John chapter 18. This is all preliminary to one verse that solves the whole issue for guns and Christians today. But, you know. Look at John chapter 18. Let's go to verse 1. 18 verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was their garden, into the which he entered, and his disciples, going back to the same scene, and Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. There's that word, weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? Like he didn't know, you know. So what we see here is, look at John chapter 18, verse 36, next page. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world, when Pilate asked him, you know, these questions here, you a Jew kind of a thing. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. So what Jesus was telling Peter and these guys, listen, you guys need some swords because you need to protect yourselves. You don't need the swords to protect me. What I have to do is what I have to do. Right? But Peter and those guys, yeah, they need to have protection. Okay, so what's the issue here? Well, let's go to Acts. It'll be a short sermon anyway here. Let's go to Acts. What did Paul do when they went after him? Well, one time, Paul ran and hid. They got him out of there because they were looking for him. Why didn't Paul stand there and use his powers of signs and wonders and stuff and stop them? Well, same thing. When Paul was arrested, Festus and the king and all this stuff, what did he do? Look at Acts 24 here. Paul had an opportunity to witness. You know, I mean, Paul had it. Said, look at that! I get a chance to witness to Augustus, the king, Agrippa. How an exciting thing! I remember when I was first teaching back in South Dakota, and I was still in my Baptist mentality. I still wanted an opportunity to talk to the superintendent or other kids or teachers or whatever, because of what I believed as far as salvation goes in the King James Bible, heaven, hell, that kind of a thing. I always just kind of wanted to, and that wasn't a pastor yet, anything like that. I just wanted to talk about this stuff to people. How can I ever get it done? Well, my oboe player on a swimming party at on a school trip, not a band trip, fortunately, and she jumped into a pool and hit her head and she died. And the parents asked me to, you know, speak at the funeral. Oh, wow, this is a chance to talk to the superintendent, the principals, all the teachers, all the kids. They're all going to be there. There you are. So, Paul jumped at the opportunity to talk to people. Well, what does he have to talk about? What does he have to talk about? He's got to talk about the risen Savior. So Acts 24, 1 and 2, and after the days Ananias the high priest descended with the elders and with a certain orator named Tertullus or whatever, who informed the governor against Paul. And when he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done into this nation by thy providence, We accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix. And there it goes. I find this man a pestilent fellow in verse 5. He's accused of this. He's accused of that. You keep reading down to 10. Paul, after the governor had beckoned to them to speak, answered. I mean, this whole thing is an opportunity for Paul to express his innocence and about this risen Savior and about the risen life and explain who he was. Well, that's fine. Look at chapter 25. Look at verse 9. There it is again. Festus, willing to do the Jews a pleasure, answered Paul and said, "Wilt thou go up to Jerusalem and there be judged of these things before me?" And you read through that thing, and it's the same thing. He gets a chance to talk. Eventually, he gets a chance to talk to Agrippa. Doesn't work. Agrippa says, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian," in verse 26 there. And Festus, he never did catch on as such. So is that our example? Do we need to put our guns away so we give a chance to witness to the judge? Or maybe witness to the criminals that come to your house? No. Okay. So here we go. Let's go to the verse that solves the whole problem. Answers the question for everybody. Romans 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's it. What do you mean, that's it? Well, that's it. Paul is preaching to us a spiritual kingdom. So the issue is a spiritual issue. God teaches that we need to defend ourselves. Always has, always will. And the issues between us and God are spiritual issues. We can do physical things to please or displease God for the judgment seat, but you don't suppose he wants you to take care of your wife or your children, or the woman to take care of herself when she's out, even if she isn't supposed to be some of those places. I mean, when you read about most of these shootings and deaths and rapes and things, they're 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. They're just not where they should be, a lot of them. Now it's starting to happen, you know, in the theaters. Well, what's the matter with the theater? Well, if you're going to go see a Dark Knight Rises, I think that's what it's called, that sure sounds like Antichrist-type stuff, doesn't it? And you look at the murderousness and the wickedness and the pervertedness in the movies, and the fact, I guess Hollywood made a movie or put a part of a comic book scene already in there, and this whole thing has already been played out, so most of us believe this is just a setup anyway. Was it set up by man? No, it's not set up by man. It's set up by the God of this world. Well, what's he headed towards? Let's go to Daniel chapter 11. Daniel chapter 11. Daniel chapter 11. I'm busy looking at the computer there. Daniel chapter 11, verse 2. Or maybe that's 21. Let's check it out here and see here. It's probably 21. Yep, it's 21. I got to slow down. I write here. And in his estate shall stand up a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. And with the arms of a flood shall they be overflown from before him, and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. And after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully, for he shall come up and shall become strong with a small people. So we know where this is headed. This is just headed towards an agreement, a league. And we know it's going to be done of flatteries. And go to the next page. We'll go to verse 36. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god. I don't think we've ever had a president speak so much about himself as this one. And shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, which, by the way, if you haven't heard that before, the desire of women is to desire her husband, to her, desire her man, goes back to Genesis 3. And they should fight that one, don't they? And nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all. And it goes on. So we're looking in here at flatteries and making a league. So what are they talking about? They're going to get together and they're going to be talking peace. You guys don't need guns. We'll take care of you, blah, 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 blah. They think that we are the warmongers here when it comes to having guns, and it's perfectly acceptable in God's eyes for men to have guns because we need to protect ourselves in this physical kingdom. What God wants out of us is a life geared for the spiritual kingdom. And this physical kingdom is heading towards the one world government, heading towards League of Nations, United Nations, telling everybody they cannot have guns because that's the strong man, that's the strong issue here. Once they get rid of that, we can't stop them with anything. Not that we can anyway. They're geared. You ever notice that when somebody gets shot or there's some kind of a major crime someplace, 15, 20 police show up? What happened to two guys in a car handling the issue, the situation, while everybody else was out handling the rest of the city? It's just that they've got this SWAT team. Where do these SWAT guys hide when nothing's going on and they can suddenly get all these guys together in their tanks and their armors and their machine guns? And where do these guys come from? Where do they hide these little people? Like the Star Wars, the guys in the white suits. What do they call those guys? I didn't know what they didn't call them, but that's what happened. I mean, it's like in Kodoka, if something were to happen, do they have a bunch of helicopters and tanks and little guys in armor hanging around in the basement of all the stores, then come out of here and everybody be there? It's amazing. They're ready to take over America from within. Like Khrushchev said to us old people, he'll never have to fire a shot. No, we'll fire our own shots. That's what they're going to do. Well, is that troubling? Yeah, it's troubling. Our poor kids. You know. But we can't get distressed about it. Is it perplexing? Yeah, why don't we know what's going on here? Look at the movie. Look at the name of the movie. Look at the things that are going on. We got the Olympics. Look what they have to have for security. Do they really have to have that kind of security? The United Nations wanting to pass this treaty, and America seems to be for it somewhat. And there goes the guns. There goes the strong man out of America. There goes the strong man out of our homes. It's perfectly legitimate to have a Bible in one hand and a gun in another. If you don't believe that, you don't know how to rightly divide your Bible. So, this is a spiritual kingdom that we're dealing with today. But God tells us to protect the physical one we already have. That's just the way it is. And we know that in the long run, they're going to get rid of it. That's why it's still a spiritual kingdom. I just hate to see our physical kingdom crumble like it is. It doesn't need to. Our general there, our commandant from the Marines, Stephen there, Commandant Stephen, is probably going to have... Oh, he's out of the Marines. That's right. He's out now. I forgot about that. Our kids are going to be going into the reserve. Okay, there he goes. They'll call him up. And he'll be probably going against a lot of our own people. I remember David told me all the training he was going through was for city stuff. And anyway, so there's the chat on guns and a Christian. Is it going to do any good? No. But at least I've got one online now.